The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today's November 11th, 2014. We're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And I'll tell you, we've talked about gatekeepers and everything, and we are the gatekeepers of physical culture and the stewards of strength. And today we got a first-time guest on here, Frank Robles. I met Frank basically through the website. He corresponded with me a number of times. I want to say it was 2013 for sure, and obviously we've kept in contact this year. Frank is a fireman. Frank, before I bring you on, you're in Boston, correct?
I'm in Massachusetts, but I'm actually a fireman in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Well, Frank's a fireman in Massachusetts, and Frank does something very dear to my heart. Frank's involved in muscular dystrophy. He and the other firemen go out with their time with the boot and collect for MDA, which, if you don't know, is the reason why we're sitting here talking to you. And I don't mean just Frank. Due to my brother, Jim, who had MDA, muscular dystrophy. He died as a very young child, in his teens. Anybody that wouldn't think that would have something on you for physical culture, it left something on me where it had everything to do where I am today. So Frank and I are going to talk about that. We're going to really get into some lifting. Frank's a stone lifter, too. And he's got that never say die attitude, and I'm glad to have it on. And the thing is, Frank's a listener like a lot of you folks out there, and this is what we're trying to get on the show. We want to get people on that are just like all of us, where, as I've been told by people, whenever I hear your show, it sounds like we're all in either a living room or a room together. We're all shooting the shit, and one gentleman even said to me, he said, "You sound like one crazy MF you know what." So I'm not going to say that because it's a G-rated show. So, Frank, welcome to Motivation Muscle, man. You guess you're going to be a radio star today, dude.
I know it, right? Never thought this day would happen. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. I didn't know this would ever happen with me either. It's like this is the way it goes, and it's a good feeling. So, Frank, for everybody out in Motivation Muscle, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself, what you like to do with training, we're going to get into some stuff, but just give everybody a little breakdown of who you are and what you do.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, like I said, I'm a firefighter. I've always, from a young kid, when you're asked what do you want to do, I've always wanted to be something like that, a firefighter, police officer. I've always felt like, I guess for lack of a better word, a protector. I wanted to do that, So here I am, a firefighter, and I just love that life. And lifting has always been kind of a thing that I feel like go along with that. You want to be the superhero and you want to do it all, as growing up. I know yours is the Hulk. My hero is Superman, wanted to just help people out. And that's pretty much how I want to be. I wish I had the bulletproof skin like he does. But anyways, that's how my training evolved. I just wanted to be strong, and that's how I've always been from a young kid. And, like you had introduced, which is dead on, a never say die attitude. That's pretty much been my, I think God blessed attitude. I just have an attitude where, look, I'm not trying to act like I'm the baddest or always right or whatever, but I am a strongly opinionated person. And if you can show me another way and prove it to me, I'll yield. But at the same time, you got to show it. You got to show it to me, so that's pretty much
it's like they say. Frank, it's like they say, you better put the rubber to the road or shut up, man.
That's it. That's always been me, So it's like, and I try to make sure not only do I expect that from other people, but I want me to be that person too. You know, I don't just say stuff to people without any reason to say it, you know?
No, you lead by example, man. You know, I've talked to you enough to know that you're the real deal. And that's, you know, like I said, this show is authentic. We don't put any, you know, people on that are full of shit, you know, and you better be able to back up whatever you say, because we want to set example for either our peers, obviously, and they are our peers, but we've got a lot of younger guys listening to the show. Steve Helmicki, who's a regular on the show, he's Primordial Strength out in Buffalo. He's got a huge clientele, and the kids now are listening to Motivation and Muscle, and I couldn't
That's
be happier.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we're reaching people all over the world now. I mean, Germany, Switzerland, Italy, we're all over now. We're growing and growing. So, Frank, let's talk about MDA. I mean, I obviously, you know my position on this. This is kind of the driving force of Motivation and Muscle, Fiorella Barbell Company. How did you get involved with this? And did MDA come to you, or was this all in process before you were, you know, at whatever fire station you're at right now?
No, yeah, that's definitely a good question. That has been going on, I don't know, I would say since Jerry Lewis started this, you know,
right.
with Jerry's kids and the fire station.
Yep.
And the fire departments across the nation, I would imagine, have taken a part of this for a long time, long before I've been on the job, got on the job. I've been on the job for 12 years, and it's been something that they do every year, Labor Day, usually around that time, at least where I'm at. And we take a weekend where we just for 2 days, we hang out, and we try to get money, you know, for people to donate. And everything goes to the MDA. Nothing goes to us. You know, I get a lot of knuckleheads, you know, they yell at us to stop begging for money and all that. And it's like, I don't get how you guys think any of this money's for us. You know, we've been doing this for years, like I said. But anyway, I love it when we do it. You know, it's a great time. Not only do we have a good time doing it as the guys, you get, you know, really meet the community. But at the same time, it's in the back of your mind, you know, you're doing something helpful for these kids. You know, I've had the... You know, I don't know if pleasure is the word I want to use, but, you know, you meet some of these kids, you know, and they're inspiring.
Sure.
Oh, and
sure they are.
They make you think, like, man, you know, this is all worth it. But at the same time, it goes back to I'm glad to know I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm helping somebody, you know, and that's what I love to do, you know.
Yeah, without a doubt, because, you know, I've said this, I've told this story many times on different shows with different people. And, you know, my parents would never let him, Jimmy was never left out of anything. I mean, other than, you know, obviously he couldn't walk, you know, wheelchair bound. Mentally, the kid was sharp as a nail, and he was matriculated through school, high school, and, you know, until he passed away. But it was my mother and father's dedication to him. I think some people probably would have gave him up.
Yeah, it's the unsung heroes, you know, the family, they've got to go through all this work, you know.
Well, and the thing was I always admired that because I can't, you know, as you're an adult now, I can't even imagine the strain they must have been under all the time. I mean, they never really showed it either, but I can imagine, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, my father, you know, full blood, hard ass Italian man. You know, you weren't going to get a pat on the back a lot, and if you had to be told "I love you," you might have a big problem. It when it was said, it was meant. As a kid, you're not sure a lot of times what the score is, but as a grown man now, I'm a big believer in a lot of that because I think there's too many times we're told this and that, and you're used to hearing it. But when you're told something by somebody that is genuine, it means more to you than ever because I'm kind of like that too, like him. I don't pass out compliments or "I love you" like it's candy because
well,
I think it's too.
To go with
ahead.
That, I hate flattery. The flattery is the worst. I feel like it's the worst thing in the world. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Just tell me the truth, you know. I'll take a compliment.
Exactly.
Don't flatter me.
Exactly.
That's all, you know.
But You know, the thing is with Jim, you know, I can remember we take him everywhere, ballpark, you know, we all played sports, et cetera, et cetera. And I never heard him complain. And, you know, can you imagine sitting there just watching everybody? I used to sit and watch, you know, stand, you know, whether we're playing football or whatever, organized or not. And there he'd be on the sideline. Somebody would always be with him. And I'm saying to myself, how does he do it, man? How do you sit there and watch like that? I mean, I used to struggle watching him, you know, like, how can he, like, it explode? But it was just the way he was, man. It was his mannerisms and everything. And I used to see him get frustrated and stuff. But I think it was because he's had such family around him. It made such a difference in his life. And I can remember when Jimmy passed away, the church that we go to, it was called St. James. And this church, it probably was built, I bet, in the 30s. And this thing is mammoth. I mean, I'm talking, you know, when you're even now, if you go and look, the ceiling looks like it never ends. It's just huge. I can remember that day vividly still. People were standing literally on top of the stairs with the doors open because you couldn't even get a toothpick in there. And I thought it was quite a testament to not only Jimmy, but to my mother and father. You know, the family, yes, but it was my mother and father. I mean, you know, doing the whole deal. So I'm very pleased that you're involved in MDA and you're out there doing something. And for the people that say shit, screw you, man. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's why we like to do these. I mean, I guess this is a more or less a public announcement. You know, you see a firefighter during those times with the boot, put it in there.
Yep.
You know, the money you got, you know, come back around. Yep. I know a lot of times people have debit cards nowadays, you know, but you know what? Go get some cash and come back around. We're there all day.
Yep.
And, you know, but besides that, Eric, it's not even just on those weekends. Anytime you want to come into the fire station and donate money towards the MDA,
sure,
we will do that.
Sure.
You know,
that's
so
nice, man.
That's a 24/365 deal, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, and it's very nice that you guys give a damn. It really is.
And we definitely do, you know. And it's anywhere I go. I mean, firefighters, they're all the same attitude, you know. As far as let's help out, you know, the underdog, if you will, you know. Because
absolutely.
Who else is helping them?
Frank, when do you guys do that in the fall? I don't even remember. Was that in the spring or fall? Was
fall? Where we're at, we do it in the fall. Labor Day weekend is when we do it. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Jerry Lewis Telethon.
Yep.
Even though I don't think they even call it that anymore.
No, I tell you the truth. I don't think they call it that anymore. Yeah.
Nah, boy, you want to talk about a contributor, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's another one. Actually, one of my coworkers, he's the guy that pretty much has been like, he arranges it every weekend. He's a lieutenant.
Yep.
He's met him.
Yep.
He's met Jerry Lewis.
That's amazing.
Quirky guy, but he was a good guy. You know?
Hey, you know what? It's the quirky guys that usually get the stuff done, too, you know?
I'm quirky.
Just
see some of the
so
stuff I do.
You have to be quirky if you're doing all this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Let's get into some training, some philosophy and stuff.
At what
age did you start training, and was it a person? Was it an event? What got you started lifting weights? This is always a good lead into everything.
Yeah, I like that question. You know, again, I loved Rocky movies growing up, Superman, those things. And I've always had this passion. I've heard you address it earlier in a couple of your other shows, DNA. It's something that's in me. It's always been in me. I'm always flexing my muscles to see how strong I was, you know, my bicep, you know, all those things, you know. But, you know, growing up, besides those influences of movies, my father and his brother, I'd watch him, my uncle, they would come over and he would work out with my, them two would work out.
Yep.
And, I don't think they were into it as much as I am now being their age looking back, but they got me into it. You know, my father and them, they were pretty built guys, you know, they were shorter guys. Huge forearms. My father to this day still got about a 15-inch forearm. Thing's massive, you know, and it's like I didn't get those genetics, you know, that aspect, you know.
Yep.
But seeing that, I thought it was the coolest thing, you know, and I wanted to be that too, you know. It wasn't so much – I never really got into bodybuilding, if you will, as far as the, you know, the image of it. Not to say I don't like having muscles. That's not what I'm saying.
You didn't wear bikini. You're telling me you didn't like wearing bikinis?
Yeah, I never got into that. No. I didn't care so much about, I was more, I guess, the powerlifting, strongman thing. I know you jazzed me. But it was more this the strongman thing. I love watching strongman even from an early age. I feel like I was the only guy that watched it growing up, you know?
You probably were too, brother.
Yeah. I was. No one knew who Kazmaier was, Phil Fister, all these guys back then, you know.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's pretty much how it evolved over time, you know. And then to go back to bodybuilding, I did kind of jump on the philosophy of Mike Mentzer's heavy-duty training.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
You know, and I liked the concept of this being brute force, attack it all at one workout, you know. So I tried that regimen. I've evolved it over from my own personal ways of training, but a lot of that philosophy is in my mind, you know, when I go to lift up a stone, I'm not trying to see if I can pick up a 100-pound stone 50 times, 3 days a week.
Right.
That's great, but that's not what I want to do. I want to be able to say, hey, Frank, can you pick up that stone? I don't know, but I'm going to figure that thing out, you know, and I don't know how much it weighs, but I know no one else is picking this thing up, you know? So like I have a video that I had sent to you. That stone weighs about 330 pounds. I found that thing out in the sand dunes that's behind my house. I dragged it to my house. It's been sitting there for 2 years.
Yep.
And I had worked on it a little bit a couple years ago. Couldn't get it up. And then I told you I had tore my bicep doing some strongman stuff. Stinking tire, man. I still punch that tire every now and then. and it came out of nowhere too. It was like a 1,000-pound tire that I had been working with. Wasn't my first time flipping it. I was going for 10 flips. I was trying to do 10 flips in 90 seconds. I guess that's a little bit of an endurance thing. But anyway, that day the tire won. I went to go flip it the first flip and boom, I had a pop. And I think you know how that is, the feeling of that.
You know how that is, man. I'm looking at some of the stuff that created that pop right now. So,
yeah, you go back and dissect it, you know, but you just leave it alone. You're like, whatever, it happened, and you move forward, you know.
Hey, Frank, this is what the guys told me, the Icelanders, that when we were all lifting against each other, they said to me, you got a good thing. I was like, yeah, why is that? And they're like, you got a permanent scar from Iceland you can always look at. And when I think about it now, I laugh because they're right on the money.
Yeah.
It was not a fun thing, but you look back now because obviously you listen to the shows. If things go as planned, we'll be there next year in 15 for sure.
That's awesome. You know,
I can't wait. I'm chomping at the bit right now. I can tell this morning when Roger and I did the first podcast, I was so friggin' aggressive on the air. It was probably overboard. I'm very hungry. I want to get things really rolling. Things are moving a lot better now with M&M and everything else. And I just got a nice note from a gentleman named Bryce who listens to the show. You know, he's like, whenever I feel kind of down or training isn't going good, I turn a podcast on right away. He said, I get very motivated, very uplifted, and away I go. You know, that's a nice compliment. But
yeah, definitely. I'm the same way. Like you had said, I'm a listener, you know, even though it's a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Yep.
I love listening to you. It's a good pre-workout, you know, just as far as getting the mind going, you know, and it's a great thing. You know, it's a great show you got going on here.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. The thing is, there's not a lot of stuff out there that's going to talk to, you know, strong men, weightlifters, whatever you want. You can call yourself anything you want, let's face it. But what we're doing here is like what a lot of people have written me is, or emailed me or called me. They like the idea that we talk to them. You know, we're not talking over them. We're not touting how great we are. You know, like I've told people, just like all you guys are, I do different things and maybe I'm doing things heavier or whatever, but everybody's doing their own thing, and we all speak the same language, you know, and everybody's learning from each other. I mean, there's nobody that's got all the answers, and that's one thing I always wanted to do with this show. And someone said to me that's been on the show before was like, well, I hope you never soften it up. And I looked at him. I was like, if this show gets soft, it won't even be on the air anymore because I'm not going to compromise. When you hear me talking to you, Frank, this is me.
Yeah, I hear it.
I'm not putting an act on for anybody. We're not going to do tricks for anybody. You know. Yeah. Does the show have to make money down the road? I hope it does, because I need to make an income. All right. But nobody's going to dictate dollars to me and tell me I've got to do this to make the show successful. I believe this show will be mega successful by sticking to this formula where we're authentic. We talk about things that people value and help them. And that's what we want to do. We want to lend a hand to everybody out there that can't find what they need. You know, you can't find books that you want. You got, you know, we go to the older material and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard Brooks Kubik on here. It's fabulous having him on. You know, he's got that Dinosaur Files are coming back out now in a quarterly magazine. They start this month. It's like, you want to get some information. I mean, right there, it's like, I mean, anybody that hasn't even owned a copy of Red Dinosaur Training, I don't know where the hell you are, man.
I've had that book since 1999.
So absolutely.
You should see my book. Awesome. Every time I read it, I mean, I don't want to say I read it every month, but I'll go back to that thing every few once in a while, and I get pumped up just reading it, you know, and it's like, huh. And I get good ideas. I get reminded of the ideas, you know.
Absolutely. And a lot of times you'll read stuff, and you know what? Maybe the third time it'll even make more sense to you. See, you read stuff, you get so much of it, and then you go and reread it, and you're like, you know what? Bang, it's like the light goes off in your skull, and it's like ready to go.
I've been following Brooks with dead stop squats for – I've been doing those now for probably 8 years now.
Well, yeah, I mean, me too. I mean, it, so you know, like, tomorrow night
– you were the first person I actually heard ever talk about him besides Brooks Kubik. You know, when I tell people I do that stuff, they're like, why? You know, and it goes back to why I do it. It goes back to a little bit as me being a firefighter, you know, because I try to think of things that are going to not only build me up for strength, but things that, if you want to talk about functional strength, things that are going to be functional during my job. And I tend to think, okay, you know what? Maybe it will never happen, but if something falls on me, I'm not going to squat down with it and then pick it back up. I'm probably already going to be in the squished down position. So let's be comfortable with that. I can pick this up, you know?
Yep.
I do all kinds of things like that, you know, and I try to just, not everything I do working out is, you know, revolving around firefighting, but a lot of the stuff I do has that type of thinking, you know?
Absolutely.
Even when I am doing my lifting, I try to get in that aggressive zone, you know, and I'm like, don't even talk to me while I'm training because I'm not listening to you.
Exactly.
When I'm about to go for a max lift, I've even joked about it here with the guys at work, you know, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. I tell them because I have the luxury of working what I do. There's times when that max lift is me saving someone's life and maybe even one of my partner's life, you know, and I'm the only one that's going to be able to do this right now. You know, this may sound dumb or whatever, but if it isn't me, you're going to die. So let's say if I'm going for a max deadlift, 500 pounds, if I don't get this beam off this guy, he's going to die. So I really try to visualize this for about 5 minutes. I get my palms sweating. I actually get fire around me in my mind. I'm in the building. I'm living it. I'm starting to get all, like, my breathing. Like, right now I'm getting excited thinking about it, you know? But anyway, I go and attack it, you know? But I have to joke with the guy sometimes. They're like, so how the hell, what happened? I say, well, sometimes people die. They didn't make it. You know, I try to make that a rare occurrence. I tell them, you know,
I didn't eat enough protein today, man. I died out. No, and you know something? That's like tomorrow night. I've been talking to Brooks a lot. I'm trying in between everything else right now to. I'm probably a quarter of a way. I'm doing a big. I don't know if we're going to do a hard copy. It'll definitely be a downloadable. I'm doing a big thing, two things. I'm doing a thing, an arm course I'm doing, which won't be a typical arm course, which I'm working on every 12 days now. And I'm probably a quarter of a way through. I'm writing about power rack training. And it won't be anything you've ever read anywhere. It's going to be a lot of the schemes I use, how I do it. It's going to be partials. It's going to be ISO pushes. It's going to be taking the bar, and it could be on a lower rod than the other rod and coming off. Lots of good stuff. Yeah. It'll be paired up with other pieces that I believe help build the dead stop arena, so to speak. I'd like to have it done by the spring. It's all going to depend on where the business is and what I have to do, because, you know, with the weight, the other part of the website, the third website right now is being built, and the name of the product is called The Weight Is Over Fast, which is going to, this thing is killer. This will talk to any layman or laywoman out there that is struggling, and especially people that have to work for a living. It's going to be very interesting. And Dennis, who's the gentleman that lost all the weight, is with me again. And he, November 6th, it was a year, he went from 267 down to 224.
Awesome.
We dumped 43.
On your, is that you have on your YouTube videos? Yeah.
Yep. Well, when you see him now, you'll shit. I shouldn't use that. You'll be surprised. One of the questions I get with anybody that I train here is, what do I do after I lose the weight? So I got thinking, I was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put together part two. Obviously, we're going to do it different than most people would, but you can substitute barbells for whatever I do. So I was like, I'm going to bring him up. I was going to bring him up to like 230, because he's only put 1 pound on in a year. He stayed at 225, which is pretty damn good.
Awesome.
Here's the deal. I decided I'm not going to do that. We're going to go the other way, and we're going to train him down more, but we're going to rip him up pretty good. But
what
we're going to do
what I call Bruce Lee style.
He's going to be very functional, like you're talking about. Very muscular, more than he was, and very lean. Well, I've had him. He was ill last weekend, so prior to that, I had him 5 weeks. He originally started at 225. He's down to 218 as of yesterday. The goal was to get him down to 212 by the end of the month. You know, he said people are already making comments because of the musculature. And what I've done with him basically is he's using the basic exercises other than the bench press. But I got him doing more of the showy stuff, getting him more trappy and neck, because I think right there that shows power, especially when you're out in the concrete jungle.
Yeah.
And number two, he's running hills with heavy sandbags for another day. And when he comes down here to FBC, he's training strictly with sledges, thick bars, and the stones are 90% of the whole thing. So he's getting that real rock hard, muscular look that, you know, the stones are probably the only thing that can give you that, the way I'm setting them up. So we're looking at the end of the year at around 212 at that, and he ought to look great. So that's going to be the second video with The Weight Is Over Fast. I haven't decided what I'm going to call it, but it's going to be pretty damn good when you see this guy again. And then yesterday he informs me that he'd like to go to Iceland again, and I was like,
"Did he?"
I think at 212 you might have a little problem there. He said, "Well, would you say go back up?" I was like, depending when I leave, because I can't give anybody a date right now, just because of with everything financially here, you know, it's got to go in the business. If everything works to my calculations, we could leave anywhere from late May, and we won't go past Labor Day, because the last time we got caught and almost killed in November there. So, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if he's going to do that or not. He wants to, after December, come down on Sundays and start training the Hoosa Steels with me. In fact, this weekend you'll see him using the H3. I got quite a little routine we're going to be doing, so stay tuned for that. That'll be on video. But
you'd be surprised what he can do. I mean, obviously, weight does move weight, but, you know, I was at 240 at one time. I was 240, which isn't, I guess, as big as you. But a lot of my strengths right now, I'm about 206 right now. I've lost some weight myself also on purpose.
How do you feel, though, with that weight training? I mean, you know, are you matching up with what you did?
I'm matching up. You know, one of the things that's hurting, and it's not crazy yet, is by 5 pounds is my squat, yep. Literally. Because I train with – well, let me tell you a little bit of how my regimen goes, if you will.
Sure.
When I do my squat days, I have my deadlift days. Those are my powerlifting days, I call them. And then I have my quote-unquote strongman days.
Yep.
But anyway, when I do that, what I do is I have two cycles. I have my 100% days. Those are the days that I'm going to go for my max lifts. Mm-hmm. So right now my max squat, I was up to, from the dead stop, 485. And
nice.
Then,
nice.
Then I lost some weight, and I dropped down. After losing a lot of weight, it was tough to even move 400, man. I felt like I was moving a house, you know?
Yep.
But anyways, I'm now back up currently. My last squat cycle, my 100% days, was 475. So
nice, dude.
What I do now, so let me explain. It's tough to explain what I do, and it sounds complicated, but I don't think so. Maybe. That 475, even though it's my max lift, what I do is I imagine that's my 90% lift. Mm-hmm. So then now I'll calculate what is 475 90% of. And I haven't calculated that yet. I think it's 525, or let's just say. So now I have in my mind that's what I'm reaching out for. You know?
Yep.
So I'll go in there on my max days, quote-unquote max days now, and I'll warm up. I'll warm up, let's say, 135, do the whole gambit, you know, however you warm up is different for everybody else, you know. I try not to go crazy with it. And then I'll jump to my 80% of the 525.
Yep.
So that weight, I'll bang out like three reps max, usually maybe five some days. We'll see how I'm feeling. I'll do three reps of that 80%. And then I'll jump to my 90%, and I know you can't see me, but I have quotations. That 90% technically is my max weight that I've done. I'm at 475. But
right. The
reason why I've built it up that way through years of doing this is, one, psychologically, it's almost like I'm disrespecting that 475. And it's like, you're not my max anymore. You're my 90%.
Right.
You're nothing.
Right.
And you have to be in this game for a long time to understand the little games you play, you know? So that's what
you
I
have
do.
To.
Yeah. So that 475 is like, I go in there like, oh, this is nothing. And for me, it works because I go in there. I'm not trying to, like, you know, I don't get that anxiety. I'm like, oh, this is nothing. Boom. And I blow it up. And now I'll put the 525 on, and that's what I'm attempting to get. And I may work at that 525, let's say, for a couple of months, you know, in whatever it is.
Yep.
But then boom. The best feeling in the world. It's a spiritual moment. I just, like, I can't even explain it unless you do it. The 525 goes up. I'm yelling in the garage. These are things that, again, it's the only way to train. It's awesome. I might lighten it up. What I do is I don't do that every cycle, because now what I will do, let's say I'm bringing, let's use squats again for an example. I may come back around and say, all right, I'm not going to go for max day. But what I am going to do is work with my 80% of 525. And I'm just going to see, this is where my Mike Mentzer heavy duty thinking comes in. I'll see how, after a warm up, I'll see how many reps I can get with this. You know, so it usually brings me in the ballpark of like 6 to 8 reps. You know, sometimes I can push to get 10. But I know once I can get 10, they kind of work with each other. If I'm getting my 80% for 10 reps.
Yep.
And
you're ready to go up.
Yeah, I know I'm going to go up with my, that 525, the next time I do it, is going up, you know, or definitely moving. And everything is a progression to me. I sweat the small stuff. What I mean by, if I get under that 525, set up, you know, like you squish yourself down there, and it doesn't move, okay, that's fine. But the next time, let's say it moves, just like an inch. That's a progression to me. You know, and then the next time.
Dude, that's called an isometric. You just did an isometric.
Yeah, exactly. And I do those all the time. And sometimes what I do, also on top of that, I will put chains around the bar so that the bar can only move, let's say, an inch to maybe 2 inches off the bar, off the pegs. So therefore, I will just work in that range. And I'll put weight on there. I'll usually put like 50% of my max of 525. So let's say I just put 225 on there. and I will just keep doing reps at that range, and just to try to get that explosion down, you know, or maybe even just hold. I'll just hold the chain and try to bust through it, you know, even though you can't.
No,
but that's what I'm doing, you know.
You can do that with bands too if you want. Crisscross them over your bar and try to come through a set of heavy bands. They usually knock me on my ass every time I try to do them.
That's a good idea, too.
This
is why I love working out by myself for two reasons.
Me too,
brother. People don't want to do what I do. My brother did. I got to give him that. My brother, unfortunately, is very sick right now, so he's being missed. You know, thanks. But that being said, I love being training by myself because I can be more aggressive. I don't have to – not that I really would care if somebody was there, but – I don't have to worry about, is this person going to like doing this? Are they going to keep doing what I'm doing?
Exactly.
You know? I just do what I want to do.
And go ahead.
I just want to say, and I invent new things. At least for me, they're an invention.
Exactly,
maybe other people are doing it, but to me, I have it's an invention. You know, how can I make this into a partial? Or, all right, how do I do negatives? You know, so like, I'm going to do negatives, you know, with my squats or my overhead press, you know, so. The power rack, the power rack is
creative.
My best friend. And that's pretty much,
that's what I always say, man.
If I know if I'm going to get along with somebody training-wise, if I know we're going to have a good thinking on training, one of the first questions I ask them is, do you have a power rack? If they say no, you automatically, I know you don't train like I do.
You're out, man.
Yeah,
you're out.
I'm not saying you don't go hard on whatever it is you do, but I know you don't train like I do.
Well, I'm gonna give you a good tip. This is something that's going to be in the book. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is going to be good. You're going to like this. Let's go with an example of a 600-pound dead stop squat.
All right.
Okay?
That's my goal.
Right. Okay. Well, then I'm going to give you a formula for nothing. Then it works, too. Let's say we're going to do 10 singles. I'm not going to break the whole thing out for you, but I'm going to give you the gist. So you do your warm-ups, whatever you do to warm up. I don't know if you get under the bar and do warm-ups till you get started, but let's go with the idea that we do body weight warm-ups. I'm using the Iron Mind Buffalo bar, so that's 52 pounds it is. I've got the early one, the second generation, which has no knurls and it's thick as hell.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're getting ready now. We're going to go into our first set. Let's just say for the sake of it, it's 160. We go to 250, and we're going to open now. Our first set technically is going to be a 300-pound starter. All right?
All right.
So normally if I'm going 600 pounds, I'm going to do a 60-pound jump every set.
Yep.
So if we start at 3 for a single, we go 360 for a single, okay? 420 for a single. All right. Now – I'll go one more. That'd be 480 for a single. Now, here's the trick to the recovery to get yourself there if you do it right. Now you take that 60 pounds and cut it to 30.
All right,
listening here now? This is real good.
So now you're going to 510.
Okay.
Yep,
so 510 will feel like nothing to you at that point. Now your body's starting to recover. And what do you think this is going to do for you? This builds massive confidence right there, because at that point we're going to go another 30. Okay, so
I like it.
We're now halfway to 6, just about. All right, you pop that thing off the pins because you know you're going to really want to bite that bar in half. At that point you'll take what's left, or if you feel you can throw 60 more on there where you'd even break that record of 600, you do that. The rate of failure is almost minimal there at that point. And the ability to move that stuff, I can tell you this, by doing it that way, you function totally different mentally. Because what I try to do with myself, and I don't do it all the time with this either. Sometimes I'll go 60, 60, 60 all the way, pass or fail. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But what you do when you do that is this. I always, with me and anybody I train or anybody I talk to about training, the main thing is you want to have a high success rate. When you have a high success rate with this stuff, you like to talk about, you know, like if you and I trained like that, probably there'd be blood all over the place because we'd be going berserk, man, literally. I mean, I've heard people that have come down my driveway between whatever's playing on musically or what's going on in there. They've said to me more than once, when I get out of my car, it sounds like somebody's getting killed back there. That's how aggressive.
That's how my neighbors are. My neighbor, well, when I first moved in where I live in, they were like, what's going on in there?
Exactly.
They know me now, so they know.
Yep.
But
what I'm saying is if you use this technique, and you can use it in anything where you're breaking stuff in half towards the middle, you know, because like I said, at that rate, I'm doing anywhere from.
And you do that every routine? Is that how you break your squat routine?
It all depends. I'm working on some big, massive things with squatting right now. But I'm going to have to kind of slow it down a lot because, the stone is going to become paramount very soon. And I talked to Steve Helmicki, who's got the second generation of the Husa steel. There's three of them. I've got one and three, and he's got two because of all the help he gave me with the bicep injury. We got into quite a discussion about that today on the show. And I've been wanting to do this for years, where I would just train that stone specifically for 90 days, three times a week. And we were talking about this because I said, you know, when I get back from Iceland in 15, I'm going to take a few days off and I'm going to do that for 90 days. And he's like, well, why don't you do it now? And I'm like, so this is something that's on the table that could potentially happen.
How does that teach you psychologically? I mean, as much as you love doing the stones, but because I've thought about doing stuff like that, you know, just dedicate one thing. But then I always feel like, but I like doing that other stuff too.
Well, you do, but you know what I'm thinking too, Frank, is maybe I take a week off from it and go back.
Yeah.
Because that, and we can see the transference of power because I'm sure, look it, I can front squat that stone, which is front squat deadlift, basically.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not going to try to press it all over my head. But when you're walking with something that big and you're hanging partials, because I have two different forms of partials with it, where we did a customized big laminated thick piece of wood that's I can't tell you how thick it is. And it's basically set up where it sits in cradles right on the rods in the power rack.
Yep.
I can set that thing at any height I want. Then we did a thing out in the back where we took 6x6s, buried them below the frost line, and we ran this logging chain through the whole thing. And I can take that Husa steel and put that either butt on the ground or midpoint or, you know, two-thirds up or as high as I want. So I have the ability to train this thing in so many variations that I truly believe I could probably get nastier than ever. I mean, I'm talking body-wise, too.
Yeah.
I think I could metabolically change my body any way I want with that stone. That's how proficient that is.
I mean, I've thought about it many times.
Yep.
And, realistically, I mean, at least how I see it, you don't need much more work than just picking up.
Hell no, man.
You know, it's getting your legs, it's getting your back, and then when you are hugging that thing, I don't care, it's getting your chest muscles. I mean, are you going to be putting the bikini on every muscle defined? Maybe not. I don't know. That's still to be.
Well, I think it's going to. Yeah,
but that's not my goal here. But I'm saying it's working every muscle. Right down to your fingertips. And then you try going for a walk with that thing. Your glutes, your hamstrings. I mean, I've done it.
You want to talk about endurance? All this shit they're peddling out there? That thing is more enduring than any. I mean, and there's great things. Farmer's walks, tires flips.
And I want to punch someone in the face every time they ask me, what do you do for your core? Oh, my God, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Don't. That's outlawed here.
Pick this
guy. That's outlawed.
All right, well, yeah. What are you doing for your bleep? You know, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Bleep.
Pick up a rock and see how fast your stomach gets tired, man.
No shit. Here it's abdominals or gut work. Anybody says core, I said you could potentially be thrown off the show now, man. No, I'm with you, dude.
The other one I hate is I'm gluten intolerant. No, you're not.
I know. Everybody's gluten intolerant and everybody's this and that. And I don't even care. You know what? If that's all you're going to fixate your life on, you're never going to make any gains or do anything. Are there people like that? There probably are. All right, go take care of it, but I don't want to know about it. You know what I mean? I don't care.
It's like, well, that's a whole other subject. I won't get into it.
But you know what, man? It's just it's the hardcore stuff people like, and our listeners really dig it. And next year, if things go the way I'm planning, you're going to see a Hoosa Steel Stone being marketed through FBC.
That's awesome. I got a bunch of stones out where I live, man. I want you to – I was thinking about starting some type of lifting tradition out here, man, because
yeah.
I explained to you when we're offline, out in the sand dunes behind my house.
Sure, sure.
I got these massive stones, man. One of them I'm working up. It actually has the same similar shape to the Hoosafell stone itself.
Yep.
It's got like that diamond, that Superman symbol shape. You know?
Well, I'm looking at
bad boy ways, man, but I'm trying to lift it. I can barely flip it.
Yeah, but you know something? That's kind of how you start them, because you start building all the integrity of all your musculature, your ligaments and tendons, and then, you start pulling the thing up, as like standing it up on its side, and you'll see the power you'll start building. You know what I want to get into, Frank, before, we've got about 15 minutes of the show left. I really like the stuff you were telling me about your son. How you work with the tree and everything. And we'll get into a little bit of the mental aspects before we end everything up. But why don't you tell everybody out there, and you don't have to give names if you don't want to, whatever you're comfortable with, but tell everybody out there what you're doing with your boy.
Yeah, I'll tell him. Yeah, I don't mind his name. His name's Solomon. He's a good, strong, good strong name, I tell him.
Yep.
He sees me training. He likes to train. Not so much structured, though. If I tell him, hey, let's go do some squats and deadlifts, he's like, I don't want to do those today. But what he loves to do is I try to make it fun. So one of the things, I do many things. I'll explain a couple of things. One of them is I have him wrestle a tree. So we got some young pine saplings in our yard. And I just show him, all right, let's try to like really aggressively rip this thing out of the ground. All right. I have a tree next to him also. That's a little bigger. And I actually like, it's great exercise, man. I'm telling you.
Bet.
I actually learned this idea, the concept of it from, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Ori Hoffman.
Sure.
A warrior.
Definitely.
And me and him used to talk, and he was talking about how as males, we've lost some of that aggression, not only mentally, but even physically, because we're doing so many finite things with our fingers, on the keyboard.
Yep.
On the phones nowadays. Everything is like pinpointed. When you look at gorillas and mass animals, they're just moving stuff, like ripping things apart. And I started to do that because he was explaining, some of these exercises. You could do it with a barbell. You put it on the power rack so that it's like at eye level. You just swing that barbell like you're benching but standing up. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Get ugly with it. But anyways, I took that concept and brought it to a tree.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it's a great not only cardiovascular workout, but your hands, your tendons, just can let all your aggression out. If you're in a bad mood, go outside and try to rip a tree out of the
strangle ground. A tree, man.
I'm telling you. But anyways, I have my son do it. And the going thing with my son to keep him motivated, I tell him the moment he rips that tree out of the ground, I give him $100.
Yep.
He goes at it hard,
And
he's almost getting that thing, and the roots are coming out. I'll probably be more psyched than he will because I want him to get that thing out,
Sure.
My kid, man, he's got a handshake that will crush another 6-year-old, and I know it's from that thing, And
absolutely.
The other things he does, though, he climbed since he was 3 years old. He's been able to climb a rope, and I'm not trying to toot my son's horn here, but since he was three,
go ahead, man, that's what we do.
He's been able to climb up a rope that I had in his bedroom, so it's an eight, goes up 8 feet. I hooked up into his ceiling, and he climbs up it, at first with his feet, but now with no hands. trying to figure that one out. With no feet, he climbs up it, no feet, and then but we make it into a game, And then the newest thing he's been doing, what I do is I have a pile of rocks. There's 10 of them, and they vary in different sizes and obviously weight. Probably the heaviest one is, maybe 40 pounds, it's varying in sizes. So I have them set up about 50 feet away from each other. So what I tell them, I try to tell them, make it into a game. Even my daughter gets involved. So my daughter's involved. She's 10 years old. He's 8 years old. And I have a race between them You know, I time each one of them so who can move one pile, move the pile from one area to the other 50 feet away. You know,
yeah.
There's no rules. It doesn't have to start with any particular rock. Just do it, you know, and don't hurt yourself. And that's what they do, you know. So they try to compete against each other, you know, and how fast they do that. You know, one did it in 7 minutes. The other one did it in six, you know, just recently, you know, in 6.5. So now that's their little competition between them two, you know.
Yep.
So I try to, and this is my recommendation to anybody who's got kids, I don't want to push it on them to train because I don't want them to feel like it's something they have to do. It's something they want to do. And I do that in two ways. One, they're seeing me do it, so I'm setting the example. Then they know I love to do it. And two,
yep.
I try to make the training fun and an element of a game. You know, and they like it, you know.
Absolutely.
I've had people try to come and train with me, and I've had some young ones, you know, by young ones, I mean in their teenage levels. And I've got a couple of kids still staying with me. And
yep.
you know right away if you've been training who's going to stick with you and who's not, you know. And this kid I got
sure.
training with me now, he's a go-getter. You know, he wants to, you know, he's got that mentality. He just wants to be a strong mofo, if you will. And he likes, you know what I mean? Some people have addressed to me like, well, take it easy on them at first, just kind of hook them
yep.
in, and then
yep.
see how they do. I didn't like that thought because, you know,
nope.
I'm not an easygoing guy. And if this,
yep.
Like I said to you in the beginning of this whole conversation, I'm not trying to flatter anybody or pull the wool over everybody's eye. This is what I do. So
yep.
I got a 200-pound sandbag over there. See if you can go pick it up. You know, if
exactly.
you like it and you come back, I know I got you. But if you didn't like it because you broke a toenail, I mean, broke a nail, you know what? You can't come back. Because I don't know. I'm not here. I'm not a cheerleader. I'm just here to show you what I do. And if you want to do it with me, you're welcome to do it. You know?
And you know what it is, too, man? It's like, that's called kind of like tough love, you know? And it's what I like about stuff like that is, you should know where you stand with everybody.
Yeah.
And especially a kid, you don't have to be a shithead to them either. But
exactly.
You got to know, like, when you're stepping in the arena here, we're all business. We're tough. We're going to watch, you know, we're going to basically, you know, keep check on each other's back pretty much. You know, you want somebody that's behind you no matter what. But what I'm trying to help you with is this. I'm trying to toughen you up enough because out in the real world, it's not always fair. And it's like, this is going to help you in every endeavor you do, because I can tell you just from experience where I am today talking to you, all the things that have happened in the last 24 months is all shaken out pretty much. And we're in a lot better spot than we were even 3 months ago. And I attribute it not only to having, you know, good parents, but weightlifting. Because weightlifting has saved my ass from a lot of stuff. Not only that, with all, you know, you're under a lot of pressure all the time, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of people. Well, a lot of people crack, you know, and it's like this is weightlifting keeps me very grounded and together. And I like the idea of going out there and seeing, you know, am I going to get punched in the nose tonight or am I going to punch it back in the nose? I've told people this before. I like the idea now more than ever that something's always trying to push on me. Keep pushing on me. Because even if you don't complete what you want to do that night, you know, I'm not going to use that word failure because there's no such thing. You might not get it, but like you said, you'll get it the next time. These are the things that really, really build confidence and discipline. And I think, like you were saying before, kids especially now, they're just lacking a lot of things like that. And they expect, you know, I deserve a trophy just like everybody else. Whoever heard of anything so ludicrous? It's like, look, there's nothing wrong with being fair, okay? Sportsmanship. Sportsmanship is what I believe is when you go up, shake your opponent's hand, and that's the end of it, okay? It's none of this jawing bullshit.
Yeah.
But
you know,
let me tell you.
If you don't mind, I try to tell
you. Yeah, go
you,
ahead, man.
Fair does not always mean equal. You got to understand.
Exactly.
That's what I tell my kids. You know,
yep.
Is it fair if I gave you crutches because you have a broken
yep.
leg, but I didn't give it to my son? That's what
exactly.
I tell my daughter. You know, no, yeah. It's not, because you don't need them. So I'm right. not always going to treat you the same way. So, I mean, it's the
exactly.
same thing, you know, and I when I try to talk to these younger guys, if you will, young men, and even
yep.
young women,
yep.
but, you know, obviously I'm more with the young men, you know, when they come in to train.
Sure.
I don't think
sure.
my wife would like young women working well with me. but
yeah.
anyway, the young men, you know, I try to portray that, you know, as far as, I don't know, I might be a male, I might be a feminist nightmare, you know what I mean? I try to
yep.
have that male concept of, you know, you got to be a protector, you know, women may not.
I'm with you, man.
They like it, okay? And you got to be able to be strong, you know how, and knowing
yep.
that you can pick up 300 pounds, 400 pounds, or whatever it is, builds confidence on other aspects of your life.
Totally.
You know, and
totally.
You can walk around with your head up high. You don't have to worry about, you know, all this stuff just comes together
yep.
mentally, physically, you know, and people don't understand it. Like, listen, I don't lift weights to just be a meathead. I lift
right.
weights because it's a spiritual thing for me, too. It does draw
yep.
me closer to God. You know, it keeps
yes.
me, from a young age, it kept me out of trouble. You know what?
Yep.
I'm not going out drinking Friday night because I got to do deadlifts tomorrow. You know,
there you
so
go, man. That's the way it is.
That
yep.
kept me good, you know.
Yep.
And
yep.
that's what I try to even help some of these young guys that I work with to understand that, you know, like, listen, this is the real deal. You're going to want to do this for the rest of your life once you get the bug.
Get a little taste
you know?
Of that, man, because, you know, you're right, too. I got news for you, though. I think it's all exaggerated. I would put money on it. 9 out of 10 women, they can still have their place and have their opinion and do what they want to do. And they can go off with their friends and be with you. They like being protected. And you know what I like? I like doing that. And you know what else I like even more? I want a girl that if she's watching my back and somebody's coming up, she's not afraid to put a bottle right across her skull.
Oh,
you know what
life.
I mean?
That,
well, there you go. Then you got
so
the hard. Best thing. Because, yep. you got a good thing
that
then,
way. But see, now I got to make sure that I'm at least double her because otherwise who's the man in the house, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, but you get my drift, man.
Yeah,
you know,
I
it's like
dead on because that's the way it be. But you know what, ultimately it is, you know, and there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with that, you know. It doesn't give you
not
the right to be a jerk. I'm not saying that. You can still be a gentleman,
yeah.
you know, put open doors for your wife, you know, and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Girl.
That look at
nice
you know
guy.
That doesn't
being, I was gonna say being big and strong or just strong
yeah.
whatever. And having a male attitude and being dominant has nothing
yep.
to do with being a prick on the streets.
Absolutely not. But you know what? You know the thing is, too? You know, like you said, open the door for, you know, you're not afraid to hold her hand or even show her affection. That's a man, dude.
Yep.
That's not some soft friggin' weightlifter, believe me. It's
right.
It's the guys that are so wrapped up in their dick, pretty much, to say that it's like, They couldn't do it, and they think it's like, you know, cool to mistreat your girl or your wife or whatever. You know, that's the end of you right there. I mean, if that was somebody I cared about, a sister or sister-in-law, and I saw that, I wouldn't hesitate at just going up and doing something at that point, you know, because nobody's got a right to put their hands on you without asking you. And number two, nobody has a right to talk to you or treat you like crap. Now, if it's coming from her end, too, well, then you got to decide what you're going to do, whether you're going to argue the point or you're going to just walk away, and that's the end of it. But all in all, man, it's like when you end up with a good lady, you know, that's what I always look for. It's like,
yeah.
are you going to watch my back and take care of me? If you are, and you know, we're going to have a good life together, put it that way. And I think that that's all from manliness, man. It's all from training. You learn yourself. You know your tendencies, and you know when you've got power, you don't have to show people power. You know, you walk into a room, they see a guy with a 20-inch neck and
yeah.
and hulking traps and stuff.
You got nothing to
yeah.
prove, you know?
You got nothing to prove, and they know right away. It's like,
I actually,
you know,
hate
unless
it
you're
too, because I mean, there's guys at work, they know what I do and they know I'm all into
yep.
it. It's funny because they're always like, and that's fine, I expect it, but they're the ones that tell me like, hey, Frank. Oh, Frank can lift it. Oh, Frank, go do that. You know what I mean? And it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't like to do that. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go do that, man. You know,
yeah.
that's just
no,
dumb.
That's it.
That's not who I am. Now, if it needs
yep.
to be lifted, I'll go do it. But I'm not going to
yep.
do it just to show off, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, but, you know, that's the society. I mean, you know, when you, if you're going to live in a real testosterone society, you and I both know the test is coming all the time. It depends
yep.
if you want to bite onto it. So, Frank, we're at the end of the show, yep. Brother.
It was a great show. Oh, yeah.
You like it? Like doing it for the first time?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I feel like I got a ton to share. You know, the more you talk, the more. I've been doing this for over 20 years, so I got a lot to talk, you know.
Well, we'll invite you back for sure if you want to come back.
Anytime. Thank you for the call. But I love the show. Thanks for interviewing me. Hopefully we're able to motivate some people and get them pumped up and also give them some ideas, you know.
And you guys, you don't have anything, you don't have, you're not website, any of that stuff.
Not yet,
right?
But I was going to say, I do have the YouTube channel that I...
Yeah, give your YouTube channel out, and then I'm going to give my stuff. We'll sign off, and I'll talk to you off air for a minute.
All right, cool. It's Francisco, that's my full name, Francisco Robles, R-O-B-L-E-S. Francisco is spelt like the city, San Francisco. So,
yep.
Francisco Robles, strength equals, and then... put that in the YouTube. You'll see some of my videos. I just put them up there for people to get an idea of what I do and what I look like, you know.
Yep.
So
you'll get to see that big 330-pound rock lift.
That's right.
Awesome.
Ugly lift, but I got it up, and I just want to get that to the point where that thing's easy, you know. Maybe someday
it will be, man. You got total drive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Frank. I'm going to give some of my stuff, and then we'll sign off. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. And Motivation and Muscle, that's www.motivationandmuscle.com. We're on, iTunes and Stitcher. And if you would write something on iTunes about us, we want to get this thing blown wide open now and get everybody involved and in the FBC family. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell and Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. You can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. Two new websites are up, both the homepage and Motivation. We thank Eric Grelou for that. He's the guy doing all the super duper work, and we're getting ready. He's in the middle of putting together the weight loss website, which will be out. Everything will be out by the end of the year. And I think that's it. But I'll tell you this. We are the stewards of strength. And we are the guardian of... what the word do I want to use? We are basically the gatekeeper, I should say, of physical culture. And that's going to be for a long, long time. Hey, Frank. Thanks again for coming on, brother.
No problem, man. It was a great time. And thanks for having me.
Anytime. It was a great show. So for Frank Robles, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to today's show. And we'll have Frank on again in the near future, and we can get into some more stuff with him. You take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.